Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, we might begin proceedings. My name is Paul Kelly. I'm the editor-at-large on the Australian newspaper, and on behalf of the Australian and the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research, I welcome you to our latest two-day Outlook conference under the highly pertinent title, New Directions in an Uncertain World. We will begin this morning with a welcome to country, and I call upon Auntie Diane Kerr to look after that for us.
Good morning, everyone. I honour my ancestors and my elders, and I pay homage to this sacred ground that we're on. I'd like to acknowledge everyone here today, and I pay my respects to your ancestors, elders and families. I'm very proud and honoured to be here. This area is part of the traditional country of my grandmother and mother and ancestors, and I'm always very proud to be able to do welcomes on their behalf. I'm the eldest in my family line, so I've taken on my role as an elder at a young age, or sort of young, but, and it's an honour to be able to walk in my mother and grandmother's footprints and to welcome people to country. My family long lived along the Birrung Ma, the Yarra River, for thousands of years, just behind Flinders Street there, before they were moved to a place called Corranderk Station, and that was a mission in Healesville. And my grandmother was born there. So the MCG is our traditional ceremonial area. The confluence of the Mary Creek and the Birrung is our initiation grounds, and the ground between the Children's Hospital and the zoo is the meeting place of the Kulin Nations, of which Wurundjeri is one of the five tribes. And we also have a small meeting place at Federation Square where we do Tandaram every year. So I love the city, I love Melbourne, I love sitting along the river and thinking about my ancestors and thinking about how it used to look before there was all this concrete everywhere. And it is hard to do, but a number of years and I can do that now. And my family, growing up, particularly my grandmother, used to say how there was lots of animals and birds and plants and things that they could live quite freely and always with full tummies. And it amazes me how resilient my family was. My family went down to 68 people after colonisation, and now we're near the 1,000. So Wurundjeri are very proud people, and we've had strong leaders like William Barak, and he was our last Narangita, our last chief, and he fought for the rights of all the people on Corranderk. Unfortunately, he never got what he wanted, but in saying that, we have now got Corranderk back, we own it, and it's a pleasure to be able to have some of our country back and to be able to do our business there. And you're doing business today, and I hope that they don't fry your brain too much. And I know that I'm not too sure about economics and things. I'm not a very educated person, but I know that we struggle. And I know that our world is struggling and our communities need help. And I am very sad when I wake up nearly every morning to hear that someone has passed or been killed or run over. And I think we need to do things to stop that. And how do we do that? And I think the only way that I can think of is that we need to talk to each other and share our stories, because we all come from different cultures, and Melbourne has 150 different cultures. It's a very, very lucky city that we can all sit here without any fear of harm. So if we can share our stories, who we are and where we come from, I firmly believe when we understand each other, we can live in harmony. When we live in harmony, we eradicate racism and stigma. And it's our children and our up-and-coming future leaders that benefit from that. They live in peace. And they can walk our streets without fear of any harm. So I'd like to offer you my hand in friendship. I do that with cultural respect and dignity so that we can all journey together. All it takes is an open heart and an open hand. May Bunjil, my creator, surround you all and keep you safe on country. On behalf of my elders, I say Wurundjeri, Wurundjeri Balak, Yimangundi Bik. That means welcome to the home of Wurundjeri country. Wish to welcome you from the tops of the trees to the roots in the ground. So we look after each other and we look after country. Country looks after us. Noongodjan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Auntie Diane Kerr, for that welcome to country and for those for that moving reflection. It was much appreciated. The first Australian newspaper, Melbourne Institute Conference, was in 2002, and it had a decisive impact at that time. For each 18 months since then, we've taken the pulse of the nation at this conference, identified a way forward, and tried to nudge public policy down that path. This is the 11th such conference. It's testimony to a remarkable partnership between the paper and the Melbourne Institute. I think it's fair to say that rarely in the last 15 years has the challenge been so great. While there are encouraging signs today in the Australian economy, we operate at a time of political polarisation, rising populist sentiment, a diminished quality of public debate, and a more difficult environment for economic and social reform. We've always valued the collaboration with the Productivity Commission in this endeavour, and I recognise the Chair of the Productivity Commission, Peter Harris, who's also with us today. I believe we've put together an exciting program for you over the next 2 days. I want to acknowledge our critical and valued partners in this project, the Melbourne University and the Melbourne Institute. I salute Vice-Chancellor Glyn Davis for his leadership and for his personal support of this conference. It has been long and deeply valued. This, I believe, is a unique collaboration which the Australian newspaper deeply appreciates. I acknowledge and welcome Professor Abigail Payne, Director of the Institute, and Ronald Henderson Professor, and say how much we value working with her in this endeavour. I'll now ask Glyn Davis to speak, followed by Professor Payne. Glyn.
Thank you, Paul, and I join you in thanking Auntie Di Kerr for her welcome to country and, of course, acknowledge Indigenous elders past and present. On behalf of the University of Melbourne, may I join Paul in extending a warm welcome to everyone here this morning. The 11th Outlook Conference and a highlight of the university calendar, an important moment to interact with people involved in the policy process, to hear from prime ministers and opposition leaders, to talk with policy experts, to listen to researchers, to engage with their work. Outlook, of course, as Paul just said, began with the creation of the Melbourne Institute a generation ago, Australia's longest standing research institute in the field of economics, which I think plays an authoritative role in the policymaking process. And it's been a great pleasure for us to be equal partners with the Australian newspaper in the development of this Great Outlook Conference, and it's a particular pleasure to work once again with a very distinguished Melbourne alumnus, Dr. Paul Kelly, and to welcome him back to campus each year. Over the next couple of days, we get a chance to see how this partnership works in terms of the conversations and the discussions. Because we all read every day about policy debates, but there's something I think really profoundly important about hearing firsthand from the people involved in them, making our own assessments about what they're saying to us and what they're not saying, and thinking about what it means for where we go. We're all fascinated by energy and migration and fiscal policy and welfare and cities and regional relations and school funding, but to actually talk to the people who have to make these calls and to hear their reasoning firsthand, I think, is really powerful. So it's a great pleasure to say these are the things that we'll be doing today, and we'll be doing so under the superb leadership of Professor Abigail Payne, who is the director of the Melbourne Institute, and she has put together with her colleagues from the Australian, I think, a fabulous program. She'll ensure that starting with a survey of the big issues before us and ending with some reflections on where the policy agenda goes next, that this will be a very stimulating 2 days. So it's a pleasure then to welcome the director of the Melbourne Institute and the Ronald Henderson Professor, Abigail Payne, to lead us into the Outlook 2017 conference, New Directions in an Uncertain World. Abigail.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you, Paul. On behalf of the Melbourne Institute, I too would like to welcome you. As you know, we in the Australian are responsible for organizing this conference, but we're also appreciative of our partners and sponsors that assist in underwriting the conference. So let me name them: the University of Melbourne, the Faculty of Business and Economics, the Productivity Commission, the Commonwealth Department of Social Services, the Chief Economist's Office of the Commonwealth Department of Innovation, Industry and Science, and the Spotless Group. For those of you who don't know me, I arrived in Australia last August to lead the Melbourne Institute. It's been a whirlwind year. This conference represents what we value at the Institute: deep discourse of issues that matter most to the Australians. I've quite enjoyed working with David Urin at the Australian to bring you what we think will be an engaging and informative 2 days of presentations and discussions. Before we get on with the program, there are a few housekeeping matters. So while we would like you to use your mobile phones for tweeting, it is hashtag AUSESOC. We do ask that you turn your phones to silent. With the exception of dinner, all sessions, breaks, and lunches are being held on this floor, and we have many staff who are more than welcome to answer your questions and give you directions. Dinner tonight is being held at Zinc, which is a few blocks away at Federation Square. If you have your tickets, great. If you don't have your tickets, you should talk to one of our staff. As this is a high-profile event, we do ask that you wear your badge at all time. We do have security walking around making sure that we are where we're supposed to be. And finally, please note, we are recording the sessions, and the media are covering this event. Welcome, and enjoy the next 2 days.